Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
I hope you got your suit on, because you know I do. And you know who else will? Noel. Or Lil Slip. Do you think he looks like he was a kid?
I mean,
that was my first.
No, I don't know whether to be like honored or insulted, because in the next episode that it also has Noel in it, I wrote, Noel looks like a young meatloaf. So
yeah, well, no, it's, you know, all the what was Meatloaf O'Days? What was his first name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyways, he's a good-looking dude.
Peter Duckworth.
You're a good-looking dude.
Peter Duckworth Pilkington, by the way, is on LinkedIn and does does environmental and sustainability work here in Toronto. So he's still around.
Oh, good job.
Yeah. Good for him.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You know, he reminds me of looks-wise is if you've ever watched the Edison Twins. And they had the little brother, Paul, I think his name was.
Yes.
And this Noel kind of reminds me of that guy.
You're right. He is. And he just looks like a much older version of himself.
Yes, he does.
Here comes Edison Twins.
I never watched that show.
It's
a
great show.
Review it. Eventually.
Uh-huh. Great show.
Because we'll be fighting so hard to not go back to Degrassi Next Generation season 7. We're
looking what for a cling of... to like yeah. early 80s Canadian television.
Like, seriously.
Trust me, in my head, I've gone, how long will this take us to get through? I've kind of done in my head how long this takes us.
Like, instead of going back to the next season, I'd literally be like, look, I just took a dump. Do you want to review that on this episode instead of
yeah, it's great.
The Degrassi good. Episode? Yeah.
Which is it, Degrassi or a dump?
Coin flip.
No, I don't need to flip a coin. I know which one I pick. And it's not Degrassi.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's enough of that foolishness. Let's throw it out. Let's go out, Vest. Who's out there? She's just home, or she's been home for a little while.
It's me, home for a rest. Arlo, and back in Regina still. After a week in Vegas, still recovering a little bit. I almost didn't make it. I went into the office on Monday, went to work, you know, I was feeling fine, maybe a little bit tired, ready to fly out with everybody to Vegas on Tuesday morning, and came home and immediately became violently ill. Like, violently ill, not just a little bit. And I was lying there and I was just like, okay, maybe if I get a good night's sleep tonight, I'll wake up the next morning and I'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I wake up the next morning and I was like, I was in no fit state to be on an airplane.
Focus, Arlo. God. You need to make it to the porn awards.
Yeah, I was like hugging the porcelain pretty bad. Like, I was so sick. Sickest I've been in a long time. I want to say like food poisoning, but I didn't eat anything that Drew didn't eat. So, and he didn't get sick. So I don't know if it was just like a virus or what. So I actually missed the first day and a half. I had to fly out by myself later on after they changed my flight for me.
Wow. Way to, like, sure, you don't really appreciate the cock and balls convention, Arlo.
Bury that.
You're not committed.
Bury that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we have out there in, I was the first one, right? I guess we're going to Toronto.
Hi, it's Alan. You know me. I'm in Toronto. Nothing exciting happening, though. The Professional Women's Hockey League is sold out every game that they're playing at the tiny little arena that's at Toronto Metropolitan University. And so 2 weeks from now,
Leaf Gardens.
Yeah, they've moved the game to Scotiabank Arena, and I was planning to go and actually trying to change the schedule of recording this podcast around it, and they sold out. So
they did.
Good for the PWHL. I did not get tickets. Hottest ticket in town, women's hockey in Toronto. So kudos to that.
Nice. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Other than that, we have the NHL All-Star game this weekend, and and hockey also. Last week we said, ooh, not a good week for WWE. Also, not the greatest time for hockey either.
No,
with,
not World Junior anyway.
Yeah. Ooh, ugh. Come on, guys. Like, just fuck it, men. Anyways, over to Tim.
Hey, Tim here. I don't want to show my hand too early on what I thought about this episode, but I can tell you that when we do our second annual Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame Awards, one Noel Kinnaird will be on the top of my list, I think, because this man is a goddamn delight in these episodes. So that's what I've got to say about that.
Noel Kinnaird, great name.
The mouth.
Yeah.
The duck man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noel
the
duck.
Yeah. So what do you think, kids? Shall we jump right in?
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, why not? Since we're here, all stand around
the fans
smack
want,
each other
Teddy.
In the dick.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Okay, this is episode 4. It's called Noel Buys a Suit. Air date was May 30th, 1982.
That's a week after my birthday.
There you go.
Nice.
We're all on Earth at this point.
Nice. You're right. I was just born. I was a week old.
Hey.
Well, and just to remind everybody, if you were watching on Amazon, they did mess up the order as far as we're concerned. This one is shown as episode 5, but it's actually part of the original 4 standalone short films that were made. So that's why we're doing it in this order, just in case you didn't listen to the last episode and didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now you know.
And don't get in a rage and smash your iPhone or anything. Just because you're like, I wanted that other episode.
Uh-huh. Don't email us angrily.
Yeah, we didn't do it. It was Amazon. It was a corporation. We're just the little guys.
Yeah.
By the way, find the podcast on Spotify and Apple. But little guys here.
So it's written by Amy Jo Cooper, who wrote the last one as well. And she did Cookie Goes to the Hospital and episodes of Mona the Vampire, which was an animated show on air from 1999 to 2008. It was kind of like in that Rugrats style animation.
All right. Never heard of
when
it.
When I looked it up, I was like, I thought I probably didn't hear of it, but I think I saw the cartoon, not saw the cartoon, but you know, see commercials for it or something.
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware of it. Cool. Now that you say that, I know something. I've heard something about that show.
Well, I do enjoy the writing of this show, so that maybe I should check it out.
Check it out, Mona the Vampire instead of Degrassi. You got it. We've got 9 years of it, so we'll do that before we ever go back. You can't bring me back. I'm never going back. All right, so we open outside a paint store with a sweet painted, probably with a roller brush, VW microbus van.
Oh,
and yes. Oh, so sweet. I'm like, this is going to be a great episode.
Noel tells his dad, like, one day I'm so getting my fuck on in that van, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
This is my future
in fact,
sex van.
Maybe that's the van that ends up in the ravine. You never know.
Ooh, same kind of door.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Quite possible.
Universes are connected.
Yeah.
So inside the store, we have Noel. So he's reading out a bunch of colors of paint because his father needs them for a job. And he says avocado green and canary yellow. And I just go, ah, perfect. Yes, that is 1980s, early 80s, because avocado green, everybody loved that color. I think we had a bathtub that color. We had a toilet that color. Canary yellow, I'm sure, was like, brighten up the space.
I mean,
open up the space with canary.
Truthfully, that's sort of overflowing from the 1970s into the early 80s, I would say. We haven't quite. It's before we hit the pastels of the mid to late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at that time,
the Golden
I bet
Girls of the 80s.
They're like, avocado, so exotic.
Oh. Who comes up with these names?
Next thing you know, we'll be eating sushi.
Yeah. Kale. Eat with sticks? What the hell? That's crazy. So the dad and the clerk lady both have their doubts about the colors, but Don, who will find out who is Noel's dad, he just says he's just doing it for somebody's he's doing it for somebody else because he's a contractor.
So
outside,
unusually, the man who plays Noel's dad, Don Kennard. His name is R.D. Reed, also known as Bob Reed. And unlike a lot of the actors on this show, he actually had a career after this in the entertainment business. Has a lot of neat credits to his name. Like, for most of the people on the show, if you click on their IMDb page, it's like their only credit. It's Kids from Degrassi Street. So for him, it's his fourth credit, the fourth thing that he was in. Or fifth thing, sorry. But after that, he went on to a fairly prolific career, ones that things he's been in that jump out to me as things you might recognize. The movie The Cutting Edge in 1992.
Ooh, hockey.
Yeah, hockey with figure skating. Searching for Bobby Fischer, 1993.
Ooh,
yes. Let's see. Half Baked.
Uh-huh.
1998.
Oh, yeah. Dave Chappelle.
He was in the Avonlea series and in Anne of Green Gables, The Continuing Story.
I mean, are you Canadian? Yep. Do you act? Yep. You've been in Anne of Green Gables. Some sort of thing.
Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. He was in Cinderella Man in 2005. Capote in 2005 as well. Lars and the Real Girl with Ryan Gosling in 2007. And those are the main ones that stuck out to me. But,
and what you will see, as the series goes on, he really embraces the skullet. Trust me. Uh-huh. Watch this hair transform throughout this show.
Oh, amazing.
He sadly passed away in 2017.
Damn it.
Ooh.
Well, thanks for taking that wind out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Before we even get outside, did you notice that he asked Noel what's for supper?
Oh, this whole conversation is perplexing.
Oh, yeah.
I
who really runs this business?
I had to rewind, and I'm like, wait a second. So, yeah, they go out to the van, and he's like, hey, Noel, his son, his, like, 10-year-old son. Noel, what's for dinner? And Noel's like, chicken. And then he's like, can I invite Gail over? And Noel's like, yes. And I'm like, what?
And he almost hops in spot and shakes his arm side to side, like, can I ask Gail over? He's like, yes. So Noel gives the okay. And Dad goes back in. And he sucks face with the clerk lady. And Noel can see it from the van. And he's like, bleh, I'm none too pleased. Thank you very much.
He's like, she got work to do, Dad.
Can I go back in there and let Gail give me a hand job, Noel? Is that okay? But, like, even more perplexing than the fact that Dad is asking his son for permission for his girlfriend to come over. We're going to find out right away. They're engaged. She's moving in. They're getting married. Like,
in a week.
Yeah. He's like, can she come over? What?
Please?
Fucking weird.
Like, she's going to live here in a week.
Yeah.
Can she come over? No. There's only so much shake and bake for so many people.
Yeah, I believe it's so much.
We'll get to that. So only so much fits in the bag. So the sign on the side of the van says Don Kennard, and it's general contractor, no job too small, which I suspect by now is long taken, like copyrighted, but who knows. And last bit, the no job too small is stuck on the side of the van with those gold metal mailbox letters, and I'm like, oh, you're mainlining me 80s. I love it. Gail's totally smitten, and the boys drive off.
And did anyone notice that the music for the start of this episode sounded very holiday-ish or Christmassy? Like bells.
That's why
ringing.
I thought the graphics were Christmas bells, yeah, but they turned out, spoiler,
I assumed they were wedding bells.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end, yeah, but... felt Christmas.
What I love is that they keep going back to the main theme, right? The thing that you see in the opening credits. And in scenes where, you know, there's kind of like trouble or conflict, they play the theme, but in a minor key to make you like, be like, oh, something's a little off here. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they use the same techniques in Degrassi Junior High as well. It's a signature Lewis man, I guess.
Yeah.
To his sound.
So we're at supper, and Gale compliments Noel's cooking, and he brushes off, and he's like, ah, it's fine. All you do is put the chicken in a bag and shake it up, which also reminds me of the 80s. We ate a lot of shake and bake back in the day.
I couldn't imagine what I would have made for dinner if I was told to make dinner when I was a kid at 10. You're responsible for dinner. That chicken wouldn't be cooked. I know that. Probably properly.
I'd be like, my friend Arlo has a hot dog toaster. Can I go get that?
Do you guys remember what the first thing you learned how to make was?
Eggs.
Just eggs?
Well, yeah, like probably like an omelet.
Okay.
It would have been a combination of hot dogs, macaroni and cheese, and like heating up a can of ravioli. Mm-hmm. Does that count as making something? I don't know.
No.
Cereal. There we go. Does that make something? No. All right. Then I don't know. I didn't really prepare a lot of great food. I still don't. Still make a can of ravioli every day.
The slip special.
Yeah.
The first thing I remember learning how to make, I learned how to make French toast at Girl Guide Camp.
Okay.
Ooh,
when I was quite young. And my dad showed me how to make omelets when I was quite young. And I had this calendar that I got when we visited my grandma in New Jersey. And it was like a calendar from a kids cooking competition called Kids in the Kitchen. And it had like a recipe by one of the winners on every month or whatever. And I was fascinated by this calendar. Absolutely fascinated by it. And I made some of the recipes out of that calendar as well. So
I learned all my cooking from the TV show Just Like Mom.
I was just the main
ingredient, ketchup.
That's
for all you American listeners and maybe some Canadian listeners, that was a very Canadian show.
Ketchup
shot in Toronto,
chips.
I believe, with one what's his name? The guy who was not Monty is Monty Hall? Was he on it?
The guy
who kissed everybody.
Oh, maybe.
The guy who used to be on the Jays broadcast.
What was the name of this show?
Just Like Mom.
Just Like Mom.
All right.
And the kids had to cook something at the end of the show, and the moms had to guess what was if their kid they're like they'd eat
Who's
like
kid?
Four different really shitty meals like and they'd have to guess if their kid did it, but like the kids would just, because they're kids, so they go crazy with ketchup and Sprite.
Like, and chocolate
and just
chips.
Cooking in a pan.
So they would gain time by answering questions. It was kind of like Newlyweds a little bit, but a mom and a kid.
Yeah.
So they gained time as the episode. So they'd have that much time to cook or to get ingredients. And like Ted said, they always put ketchup in everything.
Wow.
I wouldn't eat anything a child made.
Mind,
so dirty.
Like, in my mind, in my memory, I feel like the kids didn't actually cook anything. They just like made a mixture.
Yeah.
And then when they came back from like commercial break, it would be like baked into like a cookie, basically.
And I think they had to choose which one was their kids, right?
Yeah, they had to choose who had made whatever monstrosity that they had tasted.
It was Canadian heaven for kids television.
Do you know how many episodes of this show they shot?
Oh. Forever. It lasted forever.
Can we review it instead of Degrassi? Go ahead.
595 episodes of this thing.
It went forever.
Strap in, everybody.
Oh, wow. All right. Anyways.
So Gale says that she's off for the next 2 weeks, but she doesn't mention what for. Caitlin walks in, and I'm in my notes, I keep calling her Caitlin, so like it's Lisa in this, but I'm going to just call her Caitlin. So Caitlin walks in with a plate of cookies and with a knock-knock joke. She knocks the cookies on the floor but continues to joke. And she says, knock-knock, who's there? A mosquito. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
Also, the very fucking first time we see Caitlin, she pisses me off because she dumps those cookies on the floor. And I'm like, oh, it begins. Like,
but you know what? You see her come in and you see like there is skill in this like child to be an actor.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
To me, like it just feels like there's something extra in this kid.
Nancy Lamb was saying, who played Irene, she was saying that like you kind of get a break in the show where suddenly they bring in a bunch of younger, like as the original actors started to age out a little bit, like they're Pass more the sort of, you know, potentially starting junior high in terms of how old they are, you know, they sort of brought in this new wave of the younger actors. And she said, like, when she met the younger actors, like she sort of noticed like a palpable, like, professionalism in the younger actors. Like they were better actors basically. So she said that like she totally understood why they sort of went in that direction once it became a series. Like they kind of brought in this new wave. And you will see, like, that's kind of why some of these characters have younger siblings. Mm-hmm. It's like a pseudo replacement for them kind of thing. Like Lisa's being brought in as a pseudo replacement for Noel, who's aging out. And like Chuck, who we meet in this episode, he has a younger brother, Pete, and Pete will be brought in to sort of age as Chuck ages out. So
that becomes one Alex Yanku.
Oh, yes.
So she serves up the cookies and Gail nonchalantly takes it out and blows the floor dirt off it and eats it.
I love how they're all eating.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, they're eating floor cookies and everyone just gives it a little.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, also, that's still reality.
She's probably actually well suited for this household because eating anything a kid made, ugh, gross. You don't need to wash your hands or little dirty hands. Ugh, disgusting. So Gail says, of course, then I'll like feed something to Linda, like with my fingers, she'll lick my fingers, then I'll eat with my own hand without washing it. So what the fuck am I talking about? Idiot. Gail says, she would like to paint the house 1 week before the wedding.
Yeah,
so we get it. Okay. Two things. We got to drop that there's a wedding and also she wants to get into house painting. Like,
and that wedding's in a
before.
Week.
Yeah. So, yeah. Clearly,
if anybody needs to hear this, like, and I don't think anybody needs to hear this, but if you do, don't do renovations a week before your fucking wedding. What are you fucking talking about?
Also wrote that. Also, don't paint your house the week before your wedding is in my notes. So, yeah. The wedding drop is, obviously, I was like, oh, will this be a surprise to the children? But it isn't. They're all aware, which, again, makes the conversation at the start where Dad's asking Noel's permission for her to come over more perplexing. But this is supposed to be, like, the drop for the audience. Like, oh, shit, these two are getting married. But, yeah, I was horrified that they were painting the house.
I'm just like, when I heard it, I could, like, simultaneously smell the stink of the house just freshly painted, like, all of it painted. Ugh, what are you doing?
Well, she's just like, you know what I think? I think we should repaint the entire house before the wedding.
Oh,
Don should have said, are you out of your goddamn mind?
And yet they decide to wallpaper, which might have been worse.
Oh,
let's get the wedding over with, and then we can talk about repainting the entire fucking house. Are you fucking kidding me?
I got anxiety just listening to it. I was like, oh, God, what are you talking about? Don't. She wants something practical that matches with everything, and Noel doesn't seem too jazzed about this. But Caitlin is all in and says pink or red is the color she wants, and her dad corrects her and says, those are for girls. So.
Yes. It is like a perfect snapshot of the
1980s. Oh, it's great.
Right?
People wonder why there's so much push to like change language and change the, like, you know, the way that we kind of communicate around gender, etc. And then you watch a show like this and you're like, oh, that's why. Like,
yeah. Do you know where we came from? Do you know what we saw?
Yeah.
What we heard?
Yeah.
Do you know why it's hard takes for us a while. To change?
Yeah, exactly.
We're all in, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Well, as far as we know, I mean, it kind of fades out. You know what, they're centers on Noel as far as what Lisa says back to her dad, but presumably she says, look, dipshit, there's going to be two girls living here versus two boys, so why the fuck should we cater to your tastes?
What a great show. This is why we love it, everybody.
You can feel the love in that family.
Mm-hmm. So we're feeding some rabbits with the kids. And Chuck is telling Ida that the rabbit... Chuck, like, is a weird dude because he's an ass, but he knows a lot of shit. Like, or at least he speaks confidently about it. And he says, rabbits eat grains, not carrots. And Noel says that he feeds them supplements, vitamin supplements. And, anyways, we're talking about rabbits. Chuck wants to know if anybody wants to go get a donut. And Noel can't because he has to go buy a suit for the wedding next week.
I don't have a feeling Noel's turned down too many donuts in his life.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Get alone, you bully. Okay.
Come on, referee. Right. Oh, jeez.
I don't turn down donuts.
He's canceled.
So,
Canadian treasure.
Question for Alan about Toronto City bylaws. Can you keep rabbits?
I don't know. I mean, you can have chickens, apparently.
You can have pet rabbits, I think. Like when my wife grew up in Burlington, she had a pet rabbit.
Well, you can have them indoors.
Rabbits,
but...
Or are these food rabbits? Yeah. Like we're talking about enclosure in the backyard.
Well,
here.
I was like, yeah. I thought Noel would be like, carrots. I'm feeding my rabbit supplements because he'll be nice and big when I fucking shake and bake him in a couple of weeks.
Meaty drumsticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking at the rabbit. And he shows him the bag. He goes, I just put you in the bag. It's easy. And shake it around. No problem.
It already.
And Gail don't know the fucking difference. She thinks it's chicken.
My secret
stupid
recipe.
Idiot.
Yes.
So this is an enclosure that they're feeding the rabbits. It's definitely outdoors. Like, these aren't inside rabbits. These are outdoor rabbits. So Ida asks if he likes Gail. And he says, she's okay, but she's changing the house a lot, which as a kid, that can be very, like, jarring.
He's like...
Yeah, that can be jarring, actually, as an older person, too.
Yeah, he's like, bitch wants to paint a week before the wedding. Can you fucking believe that? Shit. Yeah, like, fuck.
She's making a lot of mistakes here.
Uh-huh.
But is this where he goes on and says, oh, you know, but Lisa really likes her. My dad seems to really like her, too. He's like a 45-year-old man. Listen to this guy have a conversation.
Like, the shit that happens in this house. So I moved in with Sarah and our youngest stepkid, and then we got married 3 months later. And this episode made me feel self-conscious. Like, I was like, fuck, should we? Like, I was like, should we sit down as a family and talk about, like, what happened when I moved in?
Should we have repainted this place already?
Yeah, yeah. So
did you repaint the entire house?
Yes. No, you know what, wedding? Though? I did not repaint the house, but I, like, the basement was not really being used for stuff. So I repurposed one of the rooms into my office and another one into a TV room. And now I'm like, oh, no, am I a piece of shit? Like,
yes, you're definitely a piece of shit.
Yeah. So
I will say, like, in her defense, though, like, you. Like, his dad doesn't cook, right? He's a 10-year-old kid or an 11-year-old kid that does all the cooking. So presumably he's the one who, like, organized the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it's been organized by, like, a 10-year-old. So it probably makes no sense at all.
Do you think
so she comes in and is like, why is this like this?
Like, Noel's going to be like, you know, if you two adults don't stop fucking around, I'll take back my permission to let you get married. Like,
yeah, you're not coming for dinner.
Like, Noel runs the house. It's weird.
He does.
Yeah. I mean, even weirder, like, in this show from the early 80s, they're like, what's he cooking for? He's a boy. Like.
So Noel comes home and Caitlin is polishing those prisms on the chandelier. Because when I saw one of those in somebody's house, I was like, they're rich. And it's just like glass chandelier. It's like the glass prisms. Yeah, they were very big back in the day.
And we will learn over time that canards are not rich.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And the problem with those, though, they would get like dusty and greasy and gross. Yeah. So what she's doing is taking them down. I was like, she don't want to think she's doing, and she's actually taking them down one by one and cleaning them.
Yeah, and she's what, 7 or 8 doing this?
Oh, she got the little hands. It's fine. The little clean hands, like little raccoon's hands.
Yeah, like that. Fine. She'd also be very good at sewing things, just so you know, the tiny little hands, very precise.
And pickpocketing.
Yeah.
Yeah, reaching into machinery that an adult's hands are too big to reach into. Just like, get on in there.
Cleaning chimneys.
Yeah. Great.
Yep.
So Don and Gail are painting the trim and ceiling, and they're all getting all mushy, and Noel frowns. Noel reminds him, reminds Don that he said he would take him suit shopping, but then Gail gives a, aww, I'm like, oh, here it comes. So she says, we're going wallpaper shopping this afternoon. They try to work out some suit shopping schedule, but nothing's working out. So Noel offers to go alone.
This is why you don't do this a week before your wedding, because of time conflict.
So this is the start, and I'm assuming that this is a trope throughout Kids of Degrassi Street. So we've had tropes in other ones, like kids just have a ton of money, et cetera, right? In this show, it appears that children have to solve problems that are caused by adults not doing what adults are supposed to do.
Yeah, and we get my favorite thing in this show where he's just going to go by himself and do it.
So, yeah, Noel's like, we need to buy a suit, Dad. And then the two adults in the house are like, well, because we decided to paint a week before the wedding, now we have to look for wallpaper. And, oh, you know, I want to go and maybe I'll have to get the wallpaper alone. Oh, no, we have to do that together. It's wallpaper, you know. So the child is like left standing there being like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm 10. Like, so
I'm 10. I'm an idiot.
Well, why don't we just go online and see what the story.
Nope. Yep.
Oh,
but the best part is he doesn't really stand there. He just quickly says, I can do it myself.
Yeah. And his dad's like,
not even a second. Here's my money. Peace out.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
So, the old man is like, he can't whip the cash out fast enough. He's like, oh, thank God. I got to go with her.
He gives Noel money to go buy himself to buy a suit for a wedding. I am a 45-year-old man, and I would, like, I'll buy a suit by myself, but, like, if I lived in the same city as my dad, I'd be like, I'm going to have my parent come with me when I buy a suit. And this child is like, you're on your own. Yeah.
So Don says to get something practical that he can wear for a long time, and Gail reminds him, less is more, which then Noel gives kind of a, okay, whatever that means, because I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever that means.
Also
like a 10 or 11-year-old buying a suit that they can wear for a, quote, long time. Like, I don't think that exists.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to hit like 12 6 months? And, like, shoot up in height. Like,
well, and how often does a kid need to wear a suit, right? He's not going to need to take it out again until you said he's too damn big.
I was like, okay, so Noel's going to have to buy a suit for an adult man, because that's that's what he's going to be able to use a long time from now.
Yep.
Yeah, just pin it up.
And when Gail says less is more, me and Noel at the same time were like, what does that mean? I mean, less is more.
So Noel passes by Caitlin on the way out and asks what she has all over her shirt. And she says jewels, because she's hanging all the prisms all off her shirt. And you're like, yeah.
Love it.
That's what a child would do.
Uh-huh. It's true. It's so... Yes. Real.
Like, oh no, it's very kid-like. It's very because you go exactly. They would do that.
There's no reason for it. Beautiful. It has nothing to do with the plot. It's just a weird little thing that real kids would do. Like, I just love that.
They probably left her alone, like on the taping, and she put these things on her own sweater, and they're like, "No, let's run with it. Go."
Yeah, go.
So Noel heads to the suit store and meets Ida and Chuck on the way, coming out of a donut shop. And they follow along.
So
Noel has $54.
Yeah, a donut shop in the 80s, by the way, a 24-hour donut shop, a shop in the 80s, is basically like a bar. Like, there are just people sitting around smoking, you know, and those kids
there's
just
probably
going,
a couple cigarette machines on the inside. Oh, that you
guaranteed.
Yeah, and those kids are just there grabbing some donuts. It's great.
So,
but probably homemade donuts, too.
$54 Canadian in 2024 Canadian money is $156.32. Oh,
in cash. Ooh. For the child. Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think you can buy a suit for $156.
It would have to be on quite a sales rack.
It was on the sales rack.
I live in Toronto, and I can tell you there are some places where you absolutely can.
So. Okay. But
he didn't go there. Where does he go to buy a suit?
Yeah.
Everybody just familiar to all you guys?
Moors? Fuck yeah.
Moors.
Not just any Moors. So, like, Moors for me growing up in Winnipeg was in a mall.
Yeah.
Moore's in Toronto is, you come in off the street and Moore's is located fucking downtown. Like, the kids went from Degrassi, which, again, like, I don't think that they really play off that this neighborhood is, I mean, it really isn't in proximity to downtown. Like, you have to streetcar it from there, like, to downtown Toronto, where these kids go to the fucking suit store. Crazy.
Is Moore's a thing out east, Ted?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
I got my first suit from Moore's in Stratford.
Are they a Canadian company?
I think so.
I don't know. Probably. I didn't look it up.
Ask Stacy.
Assuming.
I will look right now. Moore's is a Canadian company. Yes.
And it's been around forever, like 100 years, hasn't it?
Well, this says it was founded in 1980, so no.
Nope, never mind. A little off.
So at this point in time, actually, they're like super brand fucking new, which is amazing too. So there you go.
Well, so this could be like the flagship store or something more close to it, right? We don't know.
Maybe at this point in time, they were like, can we use your store? And they're like, yes, we are brand new and need to establish ourselves. You may, though.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering if you're going to say what I'm going to say in the credits.
Yes, it's a credit. So there's a note in the credits that we'll get to, I guess. Yeah. Or you could say it now.
Oh, yeah.
Easter egg in the credits.
Oh, just say it now. So then, or else we'll forget.
So it actually, in the credits while I was watching them, it says, special thanks to Moore's who provide Moore's suits, the suit store. Or the suit people, is it? I should have paid more attention to the product placement. Who provided the location, but not the suit! Exclamation point, all caps.
Didn't see that.
I go, that's pretty good.
Yeah, awesome.
That's a good joke.
There's no way they would sell that suit, they're saying. Don't associate
us. Kudos. Yeah, no, I was like, good job. We're in the suit store, and we see the most awesome 1982 of 1982 salesman come over, and he asks if they can help them.
Do you know who the salesman is, Ted?
I do. Who is it, Arlo?
No, I don't. Who is it? I suspect you'll tell me who is it.
That is one Johnny B.
Yeah, it is.
In the flesh.
Johnny Bertram.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Yes, can be looking.
There you go.
That's why he's wearing shades in the daytime inside.
Everything we thought about him looks like it's true.
Yeah.
He flew to the store in a whirlwind of cocaine. Good job. So Chuck then says they're looking for something cheap and which is kind of funny. And the guy escorts them to the sales rack. So they look at a bunch of different suits. Noel pulls one out that looks like, he says, it's like what a hockey player would wear. And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's great.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean it looks like John, like Don Cherry's coat? Like, is that?
Like in interviews and stuff. Like,
okay.
I assume that they did them like, when I was watching hockey in like the early 90s, late 80s. I guess they're like, I don't know. They just like have met banquets or whatever, they'd have pictures of them.
No, fucking hockey players have to wear suits when they like when they come to the arena. They have to wear suits when they come in and out.
Wow, a hockey player would wear this. This must be really nice.
Yeah.
So it's black and white. I think tweed, checkered shirt. It's very, very 80s. It's fantastic. I looked at it and go, I could go for something like that.
Yes.
So. Noel asks if they think his dad will like it, and Chuck says, sure, he likes hockey, doesn't he? Yeah. I'm going, you got me again, Degrassi, kids. Noel tries it on, and he's looking pretty sharp, but the sleeves need to be hemmed. The salesman adds a tie to pull it all together.
Oh, what an awful tie.
No, a clip-on tie. A clip-on tie.
Is the suit that bad?
No.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's pretty sharp, actually.
That's a good
tie.
Yeah.
I mean, with the right accessories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the right shirt and the right tie. Like, obviously, the tie is not a match. But, yeah, I don't know. I think they were going for something that was supposed to be really obviously horrible or something. But I thought it was pretty cute.
But I think the point is less is more, and this is what he pulls out.
Yeah, like there's confusion in this, right? Because Noel doesn't know what the fuck he's buying. Like, he likes the suit, obviously, but the salesman convinces him that this is a generic, any all occasions kind of plain suit, which is the language he's going to use later that's going to cause the confusion. When the suit is clearly not. This is a very loud, like, specific instance kind of suit. Yeah. And it is rad.
I just wish it was a little louder. Like, I wish it was like
green
and yellow plaid or something.
Like avocado green and canary yellow suit. Yeah.
Maybe like avocado green or avocado yellow.
Yes, that would have been a nice callback. Avocado green and canary yellow. Very that.
So they got to do some alterations to no extra charge, and it'll be ready by the end of the week. Then the camera pans down to the really long pants. And I was like, oh, that's a bad salesman because he apparently couldn't look down. But this detail, this is not Chekhov's unhemmed pant. This detail goes absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, he has hemmed pants.
I thought that was going to be the punchline. Like, when they showed.
I did too.
These pants, I'm like, oh, fuck, he's going to fuck up and the pants are going to be too long. And later they show him walking down the stairs, like, legs first, pants are fine. So
perfectly chill.
I didn't get that at all. I thought it was just sort of showing like the juxtaposition between like his like kids sneakers it being a suit.
I love it. You know? The reminder, they're like, let's remind everybody that this child who is by himself with his friends buying $154 in 2024 dollars suit is 10. So yes.
Yeah. Don't judge them too hard. So we see the Moore sign again as we leave. And if you actually had a drinking game for seeing the Moore sign or Moore's tag anywhere, you'd be probably quite dead, I guess. So Chuck figures the stepmom will like it because less is more and there are more colors in it. So
less money and more colors. Amazing.
So at home, the couple's hanging wallpaper, and nothing will tell if that couple should stay together or not by hanging wallpaper together.
I've only ever dealt with wallpaper once, and when we moved into our we moved from Stratford out to my grandparents' farm, and we sort of like redid the farmhouse. We had to take out all this wallpaper. Was it normal to put wallpaper over wallpaper?
No. You should peel off the old wallpaper.
That's what I assume.
Before you put on the new wallpaper.
But I guess if you only have a week to get it done.
Also,
good insulation.
Also, Tim, the way that you dealt with wallpaper is the only proper way to deal with wallpaper, taking it down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my, 100%.
Never.
It is, you know, being able to put up wallpaper is a complete, like, it's a dying art. Especially, and
a necessary art.
I should preface this at that I am part of a maximalist Facebook group because I love maximalist style. It's the opposite of minimalist. So
you don't say
the opposite of Gail of what Gail wants her house to look like. And you can get some fucking amazing wallpapers. And like nowadays, the style would be more like you would just do one wall of this like amazing print wallpaper kind of thing. It would be like a feature wall, but you can get some fantastic wallpapers. But the way you apply it now is a lot different than it. It's mostly like peel and stick now instead of like the glue back stuff that you really need a skill.
Put up. Like, think about the fucking idea of it. You're gonna have your wall, then you're gonna put glue all over it, then you're gonna put fucking paper on it. And it's like, so I'm gonna ruin my wall. That's my plan. Okay.
And time is ticking.
Cool. It's awful. Ugh.
It's like, it's a dying art to be able to even do it, like to get all the bubbles out and to make sure that all your edges are matching and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. My mom is like a great wallpaperer. I do not possess this skill.
Did you ever have a place where there's wallpaper and like, let's say in the basement, and there's one part of the basement where there's like, you know, like a big like tube sticking out of the wall or something like that, and some people would fucking put the wallpaper on the tube too just so that it all matched? I've seen that before.
Maximalist.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
Or they would cover the light fixtures.
Yeah, there'd be something that would like stick out of the wall that would ruin the smoothness of the wall. So you just take like cut out a piece of wallpaper and put it on that thing. Yeah. Maybe no one will notice.
Oh, the 80s.
Amazing times.
This house sucks. So, Caitlin's asking more knock knock jokes. Who's that? Knock knock, who's there? Cows go who? Cows go moo, not who. Hey, yo.
Cows go moo, you like fucking one, idiot, yeah. Is what she said.
Do you remember though when TikTok? TikTok jokes, when knock knock jokes were like the height of like comedy when you were that age? Oh,
absolutely. This is a running joke within the game. Me and Barry's favorite game, Last of Us, and Ellie, one of the main characters, is reading from a joke book. And it's just really bad pun. It's a lot of puns. I think there might actually be a knock knock joke. I'm not sure, but yeah, they're lame jokes. So lame joke is good. I had a monster joke book, 101 monster jokes, and yeah. I would carry it around. Same thing. It's a kid thing. And I think you're purposely doing it just to kind of annoy people because you're a kid and fuck it. Why not? Uh-huh. I don't know. Anyway, it was a good story. Good job. Actually, I annoyed people with that story. I'm back, baby. Okay. So Noel enters and tells him about suit shopping and says it went well and that it's practical and neutral and goes with everything. Gail gives him another, because the suit won't be ready until the night before the wedding, which I would call wedding rehearsal night.
She's a fucking loser. We'll talk about that. Like, she's like, do you have it? And he's like, oh, no, it's getting altered. I'll have it on Friday. And she says to the child, who they sent by himself to get a fucking suit, she's like, oh, that's the day before the wedding. Like, it's the kid's fault? I'm like, fuck you. Like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noel's like, I'm going to make dinner. Because again, he's the adult in the house. But Gail, the new adult, has already started dinner. And we'll see. Dinner is a boiling pot. What's in it? Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hot dogs.
And oh, no. He'd be more excited than that because he lifts the lid on the pot on the stove. None too pleased yet again. And we have a zoom shot of the pot. Dun dun dun!
Again, what's amazing? If we watch this show now, that pot would be immaculately brand new, look perfect. It is a busted ass pot.
Yes. I love that.
Oh, I know. I think it's amazing. It's legit the pot that would have been in that house because it's been used for whatever has been going in that thing.
So Gail and Noel are in the kitchen, and Gail has taken upon herself to reorganize the kitchen cupboards. Again, Noel is not pleased, and Gail claims it's logical, thereby claiming that what Noel, it was illogical. Thin ice, Gail.
Yep.
Watch it. She offers to buy a new shirt for a suit, and she goes to measure him with a tape, which this is like perfect kid right here. So puts like the cloth tape around his neck or like plastic PVC tape that I think, well, we definitely had in our kitchen at all times, strangely. 100%. And, He's like, oh, your hands are wet. And then she dries off her hands. And then she puts it around his neck again. And she goes, oh, you're choking me. you fucking kid.
I love it.
Yeah. And she's had enough. She hands him tape and goes, just do it yourself. Like,
dear child.
So,
take this responsibility on as well.
Seeing as you're talking about children taking responsibility, we cut to the next scene. The children are offloading bags of fiberglass from Don's work truck. So I'm like, do they work for him? Is this just how they play? Like, what's happening here?
So good.
Yeah.
My buddy's parents owned a convenience store, and I remember one time we were paid to clean out the dumpster, and it was like a built dumpster out of wood and like chicken wire, and me and my two other buddies, one was the son of the parents, and we got in there and we were promised like three loonies if we cleaned it out, and then we weren't like, we had it mostly clean out, but we didn't really have it down to the bottom because it was fucking trash, and anyways, I think we all got $5 and we're like, whoa, a fin? That's amazing. So yeah, child labor was a thing in the 80s in Canada. No problem. So I'd have mentioned that it's possible he might get sent away when they get married because it happened to someone she knows or some relation. I don't know if it was Jason, her stepbrother or something.
Jason's the name she uses.
Jason, yeah.
Like, who I guess is just a friend of hers, but she's like, yeah, when Jason's father married his stepmom, they sent him away to live with his grandparents. I was like, what? That's fucking amazing.
Amazing.
And I bet love you it. Jason got to his grandparents' place and his grandma was like, Jason?
Oh, no.
Jason.
He's a selfish boy. So Noel says, well, she did try to choke me. Which is great. Fantastic. Total kid stuff. Chuck suggests he should run away, but he can't because he needs help. Who would help his dad? Ida figures his dad will need a lot of help with a lady like that around. It's like, okay, butt out, Ida. You crazy?
Yeah.
Jeez, Chuck and Ida.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ida's like, Noel, you want me to kill her?
Noel, tell her she stinks.
Because I'll do it. I'll kill the bitch. I'm Ida. I did like the most evil person in this series.
Mm-hmm. That's what this series is leading up to, that, like, Ida's a serial killer.
He's like, I don't know if you know this, Noel. I killed my dad, and no one knows that I did it. I'll do it to your mom, too, if you want.
Yeah, my dad's not really out west.
Yeah. He's out west, as in, I buried him west of the house.
Yeah, he's on the west side of the house.
Yeah.
She looks west and blesses herself. Like, yeah, rest in peace.
Spits.
So back at the house, Gail is hemming Caitlin's dress while she reads from the joke book again. Knock, knock, who's there? Irish stew who? Irish stew you in the name of the law, which is like a fair bit of a stretch.
It's a bit of a stretch, yeah.
Caitlin doesn't get it. I got it, though. I was like, I'm pretty smart. I'm good. Which I said out loud to myself, I'm pretty smart. Noel enters the house with Chuck, and Gail sings out that the new shirt is on the bed, and she is trying. She is really trying to get in with the family, and he gives her a, I said thanks, as he's walking up over the stairs. You're like,
how pounded me, woman.
So we see the striped shirt accompanied by a dissonant chord, like, boing. So... because that guy in the synth is going ridiculous, which I love. Noel says it's terrible. And then helpful Chuck says, everyone knows stripes and checks don't go. And I'm like, who is this kid? I didn't know that till I was probably like 30.
Chuck the
like
suit
expert.
Actually
said it.
And then
he's a suit. Yeah.
Yeah, Noel's like, my suit is neutral. And Chuck's like, if that suit's neutral, I'll eat my hat.
But
He's a little fashionista.
Yeah.
Like, what is this kid? Like, I'm really, from the future.
In future episodes, I'm not sure if he maintains always wearing a toque, but I really enjoyed this episode in which every scene he's wearing his toque.
Even in the church?
There is a final scene, yes, which is in the church.
But again, the one thing that this does establish kind of on a more serious note again is that there's a misunderstanding, which again, parents' fault. Because they sent Noel by himself. But Noel's been convinced by the salesperson that his suit is neutral and plain. Yes. And it's not, you know, it's clearly not. And so now Chuck is calling this fact out. But Noel's like, well, my bitch stepmom tricked me. Like, this is obviously a plan. And I'm like, you know what? Reasonable conclusion, Noel. Like, I know it's not correct, but you may as well conclude that because these parents have been stupid. So far.
Well, and, you know, he very specifically said, I don't need you to buy me a shirt. I can buy my own clothes. And then she goes out and buys him a shirt anyway, which is kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
Get it together, Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
You're ruining this family. We hate you. As if these podcasts are not, we don't hate you, we love you.
And I mean, if it was actually Caitlin, by the way, like, it is not, it's Lisa. And again, if you haven't been following these shows... there's not continuity from Kids at Degrassi Street to Degrassi Junior High. It's, you know, new, same actors, new characters altogether. But I like to imagine that if this was, I'd be like, well, Noel's going to disappear one day, even from family photos.
She did have a brother.
Yeah, and Don's going to go get his fuck on with everybody in town. And Lisa's going to catch him.
Don becomes a teacher.
Yeah, so anyways, doesn't happen, everyone.
Don could totally do it because he'd be like, yes, I'm the guy. I'm Rob Halford from Judas Priest. You got another thing coming. He totally looks like him. Alan knows what I'm talking about. Maybe Arlo knows too. He totally, like, look at him. Watch the episode again and tell me that's not a Rob Halford playing guy. Like, it totally is. He got, like, the hair, like, the receding hairline, the face. Like, he's a good looking dude, but just like, oh, British Steel. Great album.
Amazing.
So, so back at the suit store. Noel goes to pick up the suit, but also needs a shirt. So he's looking for something plain, no stripes.
And
back at the house, Caitlin's taking down the chandelier crystals and polishing them while Gail scrubs the stairs. And I'm still like, I'm still counting down to the wedding going, boys, like, you should have done this like 2-3 months ago. Mm-hmm. So I think she's actually like scrubbing it. So, yeah.
Let's not forget that she got angry at Noel for buying a suit that might come in a day before the wedding, yet this whole week before the wedding, they're basically redoing the whole house.
The stair runner's going to be wet.
They're painting the house the fucking day before the wedding. Like, it's
Yeah,
and they're still painting the house.
Fuck. Don't lean against anything.
No pictures on the stairs.
So Gail is going over the wedding procession plans. Caitlin asks, what happens if she trips? Then she says to Gail, like, oh, you won't trip. You'll look pretty. It's like, well, Caitlin, those two things don't really go together, but I guess so. It's like,
well, I
know it's gross. I know it's gross when pretty people trip. It's weirdly awkward, but anyways.
I like how Lisa's like, what if I trip? And Gail is like, what if I trip? Like, no, that's not what you say to the kid.
This is my day.
Yeah. Shut up. It's not about you, Lisa. Knock, knock. Who's there? Shut the fuck up.
Why don't you go spray paint a building? I mean, wrong show.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Bang. Claude. Oh, no, I don't know. She's like, you don't get that yet, but you will one day, Caitlin.
You don't. You're too. It's like, this is too early for you, but your kids will love it. That's a Back to the Future line.
Yeah.
So Gail pops the box open and laughs because it's definitely not neutral. The suit isn't. And then, oh, he says, gloves are off. He says, don't laugh at me. And he says he wants everything. Gail wants everything neutral. And Noel says, I won't be sent away because my dad needs me. You know, like, the shit hits the fan here. Gail freaks out. Noel freaks out. Noel then locks himself in his bedroom.
That chuckle from Gail, like when Gail sees that suit, and before she thinks, she chuckles. I just wrote, Noel loses his shit.
Like, you can't send me away.
He's like, the fucking suit. You made me buy it. It's not funny, you fucking bitch. You're not going to send me away. I'll kill you. I'll kill Lisa. I'll fucking burn down the town.
Like, she's like, what the fuck, like, whoa, are you talking about?
So amazing. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, he loses. Yeah. So his father goes upstairs. Rob Halford talks to him through the door, and he's like, you can't be breaking the law. You got another thing coming, Noel. But Noel's adamant that he's not wearing the shirt and Gail bought him, and he's not going to the wedding. Noel's mad because Gail keeps butting in, and it's because she is trying to be a part of the family, according to Don. Noel says the real mom is dead and he doesn't need a Gail. The father is very nice. Actually, the father is like totally solid here. Tries to talk Noel down to no avail.
I think
Noel
his dad
lays
says
a stripe shirt down.
Yeah, his dad says, like, all the right things. He's like, it's okay. I love you. Like, doesn't get pissed. In fact, you can see that he's sad that his kid is sad and has locked him out and he can't do anything. I felt bad for dad here, for sure.
Dad's actually scared he's going to lose all of his child labor if he's not careful right now.
He's like, fuck, I'm going to have to pay people to do shit for me now. Yeah.
I had a lot of nostalgia about this skull because I know what's coming. Don't get me started. But it was just, that's a real reaction. Like the adult was acting like an adult.
Yeah.
Trying to make the family work. It wasn't like flipping out and share, even though I was a kid, but like, Emma was a kid, but sharing everything with the child. It's like, no, you can be the adult here. And he was. And it was just like, huh. Oh, yeah.
This real is how life.
Amazing. So, wedding day. Dun, 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 dun. And Galen, the best man, come up to the door. I guess it's the best man, but he's
played
by
Lewis Mann.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Lewis Mann? He's a he's born funky MRF-er right there. He's like, hey, I expect him to go, hey, man, you really need to get to the church, man.
Neato.
He's looking beautiful. Love it. They pull up in a little sweet yellow gremlin.
Oh, yes. Rink.
Not a Mercedes on this side of the street.
No, not at all.
So nice. So, and I don't know who they're picking up, but they ain't going to fit in that. So, but it is also the 80s, and seatbelts are not even optional. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, they're like seatbelts. We don't got space for seatbelts. We got to stuff.
That's a luxury upgrade.
Yeah, six kids in the back seat.
I'm holding on to you. I remember growing up and somebody saying like, but I'm holding on to you. It's like, okay, I guess it's the 80s. So Noel isn't downstairs yet. And just then, our little man appears at the top of the stairs, decked out in a suit and a striped shirt. And again, Chekhov's unhemmed pant leg does not make an appearance. His looking pants fabulous. Are nicely hemmed.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess that was a useless shot. But, they're learning. They're kids themselves, the Lynn Schuyler and Kit Hood. Caitlin likes the suit because it's colorful. Gail says he looks really nice, and he wore the shirt. They have actually a really genuinely nice moment because he said he didn't want to hurt her feelings. And Noel says they should get going because the wedding is at 11. And it's really like a genuinely nice moment. I was surprised.
Yeah. They make nice. And Gail's like, I don't want to hurt your feelings either. And I need to learn about living with a family. And I'm like, it's refreshing. I'm like, everybody is so mature here.
Wait a minute. Someone wasn't kicked out of their house or having to go down to a ravine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gail didn't pull a gun on Noel and shoot him or something stupid like that.
There's like no shenanigans. There's nothing, right? There was a disagreement and now they're like, okay, we fucking figured shit out. I'm like, great.
No one got punched in the ear and went deaf.
R.I.P. That guy's here. So finally we're at the wedding and everyone's happy. And Chuck is wearing his green toque in the church, which I thought was fantastic.
I love also Noel's little suit with his little he's clashing little tie and his little clashing shirt. I think he looks great. Gent.
Absolutely.
In a flock of pigeons, be a flamingo, Noel. You live your best life.
I like that we get a small cameo from Casey, aka Susie.
Yeah.
We'll see more of Casey later.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out that if I would have tried to wear a toque to church, my mom would have cuffed me upside the head. Just throwing that out there.
Chuck don't give a fuck. Chuck's like, there are two things that I'm really good at. Nice suits and toques. So.
And I'm all out of nice suits.
I really appreciated, too, like how middle class this wedding looked.
This whole series is middle class, Arlo. This is like the best thing about this show.
I loved that. You know, it's not like they were taking a limo to the church or something like that. It's like
she just got it done.
She like, you know, she goes down the front steps and she's wearing sneakers instead of high heels, little white sneakers or whatever. And then they, you know, a moderate number of people at the church. It's obviously that they're, you know, this isn't like some huge event. It's not. Like it's going to be on page 6 or something like that. Like it's very, it all feels very organic and realistic to me.
You say moderate number. When you say the number, the thing I noticed is, especially when they're getting in the van to drive away with the just married, and people are like cheering and celebrating on the sidewalk, there are 3 adults and like 10 children. This is all the kids of Degrassi Street are invited, and a couple of adults,
and a couple of the cast and crew that could get in the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. Again,
but, I was a fan. I just was like
completely charmed by it. You know,
like, in all honesty, yeah. Arlo, as you watch this series, it is so pure middle class. It is just some of the things that you learn and see in the jobs they have and how they live their lives and what their houses look like. They are not hiding the fact that this is just people trying to get by the best they can.
And
I got married in my backyard. You know, I think Alan, you did too.
Sure did.
Right? I appreciate that it's not some big fucking thing.
I also
it feels more real.
I don't know if this carries on for the series, but in multiple episodes up till now, when they roll the credits, there's still dialogue and shit happening.
Love it.
And in the couple of episodes, yes, it's been like a party, like people happy, dancing, like I'm like, this is great, like some sort of like group scene happening. Big fan of how they end these ones.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, compare to Next Generation. It was always like, dramatic. Whereas this is, like you said, a party because they leave the church and they this is like the credits are rolling, drive off, get in the microbus, drive off. And then right at the end of the credits, they have the horn honk, but it honks the last few notes of the Degrassi song. It's like whatever that. Yeah, I was like, great, fantastic. You go, that was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, fucking shit, the world is terrible. Like, it was fine. Good, great.
Who got AIDS this week? Fuck.
Yeah. Just a note also, this church is, I'm pulling an Arlo, Wood Green United Church on 787 Queen Street East in Toronto.
All right.
And it was opened in 1925 and it closed in 2004. And I don't know if it's still there. I did look at it on Google Maps and it put me in an alley and I scooted out the alley and I came face to face with what I think might be the Degrassi grocery store. It really looked like it. And then I looked up the address and then I got you know, distracted and bored. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I don't have the second part to that. But yeah, it was right in downtown Toronto. Ooh, what do you think about this beautiful baby?
I loved it.
Absolutely loved it.
I feel like I've broken record for every episode. I'm just like, oh, I loved it. It was so sweet. It I loved it. It was bonkers.
Like, I think it's my favorite
this child to do, but like I loved it.
I mean, one thing I appreciate about this, I mean, I make fun and I'm going to continue to make fun of kids being stupid in this, but it's it's like, of course they're fucking stupid. They're fucking kids.
Stupid.
It makes sense that they're stupid. Whereas when we watch these other episodes of Degrassi where we've got like high school kids being stupid, you're like, there's no justification for these fucking assholes being this way. Right? So here it's like, it's fun, but it's lighthearted, stupid, and it's like, of course they're dumb. This is a fucking kids show. Kids are dumb. It's great. Except for Noel. Noel, who fucking cooks, works, he's got a job, like he paints and moves shit for his dad, he gives permission for his dad to have his girlfriend over and to get married, and he's the one that at the end is like, I'll be the mature one and pull this family together for the wedding, like, amazing.
Alan, put him in the Hall of Fame now, I'm just telling you. Goddamn delight.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was great. Fantastic. Yeah. Very realistic and again, that mainlining the 80s in every way possible. It was
well, I don't
fantastic.
Even think they're trying to do it. It's just doing
no.
it because well, it was, right? Like there's no it's not like it's pushing it down our throats. It's just we know what it's like because we lived it.
Well, and all this shit that these kids are doing in every episode, you know, they've got some goofy thing going on, but it's like that's all you're gonna do. You don't have a smartphone, you don't have internet.
Yeah,
like
you're right.
You're gonna sit around and help your fucking parents paint the house. You're gonna go in the next
episode,
you're going to make up your own dumb newspaper and try to sell it around the neighborhood because you're going to run outside and do shit. And again, I'm not saying this as a, my kids are better off then than they are now. Like, fucking great for kids these days too, but it's just this, it was different. It was a different thing.
Yeah.
I always kind of shake my head at that thing when people are like, oh, back in my day, we weren't on our phones. Like, if I had one of those phones, I would have died face first in that.
Yeah.
I would be on it all the time. I'm on it all the time now. And I'm an older person, not a child. And I love my phone.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, because you didn't have access to that. You didn't have it. So you had to come up with something. Kids don't have to come up with something necessarily.
The one I get is people who gripe when they're like, oh, we took this 8-hour road trip and the fucking kid had a screen to look at the whole time. Bullshit. I used to have to look out the window. And it's like, why? Why make it shitty? Like, you knew when you just had to look out the window that that was shitty. And now it doesn't have to be shitty. So why are you mad that you're, you know, technology evolved? So
I can I can only take so many hours of Archie's hijinks in the back of the car, like with a stack of Archie comics. It's like, yeah, I get it. Oh, what? Jughead ate a bunch of hamburgers. Now
Jughead's hungry. Stomach?
Oh, wait, no. That old chestnut again. Oh, my God. Oh, Archie got a double date and he's double booked with Betty and Veronica. You don't say.
Okay. Thank God you get that Sabrina the Teenage Witch interlude every once in a while.
I remember when I fucking my parents drove out to BC from Winnipeg to visit my my uncle and aunt. So, you know, 20-hour drive, and I brought a Walkman, and like the only tape I brought was fucking Moxie Fruvis.
Moxie Fruvis, and you go, oh,
so like that's so like that's the only, like, now because it's the only thing I could do on that trip. I know the album, like I still hear that album, and I'm like brought back specifically to that trip because it was the only fucking thing I could do. Hey, once I was the king of Spain.
And you had to squeeze the life. You had to squeeze the life out of the battery. So it's like,
Once I was the king of Spain.
You're like, come on. No, Bad Biddy Giangameshi was in the band for a while.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Ugh.
Oh, I ruined the whole thing. I, like, now I can't even, like, I'm, it makes me scared to admit that I liked it, but I'm like, I didn't know he hadn't, I'm hoping he hadn't done it yet when I was 13.
Fuck. Yeah, you had to, you shame it.
Sexual predator.
Yeah.
You shamedly, Alan, took your jester's hat and put it in your closet and locked it away. Because one guy, I think, wore like a jester's hat in that band.
Well, you know, I mean, I know we're getting off topic here, but I remember we did when Jamie and I did Albums Are Dead, we talked about Gordon by Bare Naked Ladies.
Ooh,
and I was like, okay, it's a fantastic album, and they have these really serious songs like The Flag, which is like incredibly like deep and serious a song.
Killer.
But then there's
killer
song. But then the band's also like, look at us, we're so goofy. <I'm> like, so fucking weird. And Moxie Fruvis is the same. They're like, we're musicians, but we're so goofy. Check this out. Yeah. Such a bizarre time. Anyways.
It was, yes. Early 90s. Anybody, that is a all killer, no filler. Gordon, Bare Naked Ladies' first album, fantastic. Like, it will take you on a roller coaster ride.
Especially, they didn't really, I mean, they knew who Bare Naked Ladies are now, but probably missed that whole era, you know?
Yep.
Before One Week came out. not a huge following in the States, so.
Bare Naked Ladies, who were going to play, I believe, a New Year's show at Nathan Phillips Square, a.k.a. like in front of City Hall in Toronto. And then weren't allowed to because the band's name was Bare Naked Ladies. such a scandal.
We have that stuff in Canada, too. We have the crazies up here as well. Yeah. So,
Amazing.
I want to go listen to that album now. Like, What a Good Boy. Another fantastic jam. Like, Blame It On Me. Oh, man. Like, all serious songs, fantastic.
Well, Brian Wilson's wife passed away, like, in the last week. He tweeted about how he was sad, and all I thought was, walk downtown in the rain at 30 on a Tuesday night. Like, so, anyways, also,
when I first heard that album in the 90s, when I was, I don't even know if I really knew who Brian Wilson was.
Yeah.
It was on the radio all the time, but I was like, who's that?
I didn't know the story. I'm like, he's in the Beach Boys. What? He was nuts? What?
Yeah.
Then I learned.
He was in Bare Naked Ladies?
I mean, also Be My Yoko Ono. I'm like, what? Yeah.
I think my favorite song on Gordon is Enid. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Enid, did
makes
you?
Me happy.
Fantastic.
But again, it's a fucking fantastic song. The music video is great too, but did you know that Enid is dine spelled backwards? You know why? Because we like to eat. Like, yeah. Such a
warrior.
Yeah, bizarre.
Put in a few more sound effects. And
well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, sorry, because why not? This is the Bare Naked Ladies Appreciation Podcast, everybody.
Absolutely. I'm in.
Yeah, let me go and look. I just want to look at the track list for a second because I still think like one of the most jarring things on the album here is Bare Naked Ladies page. Oh, yeah, and he did cocaine and had to leave the band. Yeah, there was that too. Don't forget that part. Here we go. Track list for Gordon. Yes, I remember listening to The Flag. Again, The Flag, which is about domestic violence. But you're like, okay, we got to power through The Flag so that we can get to If I Had $1 Million, which is funny and goofy. So weird.
And The Flag is like, so, like, listen to it. And even the chords are just so dark.
Yeah.
It's like a very black, very like dark, shadowy song. Like, just listen to it, anybody out there. The Flag by Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know. It's like gives you a bit of like the, oh, geez, like an unsettledness, even though it's fantastic. But yeah.
Also, the album came out and it had a song on it called Grade 9. And I was in Grade 9 when the album came out. That was exciting, too. Yeah.
They called me Buckwheat. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm wrong. I was in Grade 8. Damn it. Oh, well.
No. Oh, so, no, I was in grade. No, I was. Oh, fuck, I was in Grade 8 too. Oh, shit, we're the same age. Never mind.
Fuck. All right, anyways.
So, that's been the Bare Naked Ladies Appreciation Podcast for another week. So, yeah, any final thoughts about this beaut of an episode?
I can't wait for the next one.
What is the next one called?
Well, it's the one that if you've watched an order on Amazon, you've watched one episode ago.
Lisa makes the headlines.
Yeah. I get this plot, everybody. Lisa, who will become Caitlin, fucks up in journalism. Where do we see that happen again, everyone? It's good. Fantastic.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Though those kudos to those kids who are going to sell subscriptions to their newspaper. So
just like baseball teams.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So fantastic. Anyways.
So I guess we'll wrap this this suit up, put it in a nice Moore's box, and ship it off. Let's see. Let's pass it over to a probably fully clothed lady over there in Saskatchewan. Who could that be?
It's Arlo. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. And off to Toronto, Alan.
Alan, slip with five eyes or slip. And the podcast is at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. And over on Facebook, you can follow the group, Narbos and Broomheads, over there. Let's go to Oakville.
I'm at Folly T on Instagram. Teddy, take us home, buddy.
And I've been Ted. I've been wearing a full suit the whole time. And I'm on ZY3 Instagram machine. Come see Linda. There is a new picture of her in the sun. I had another photo like dump of Sarah going like. I opened up my Instagram and I was like, oh, geez, my Instagram is blowing up and it's all Sarah.
I saw the latest one that you posted of the dog, and then the comment underneath is just my wife, Sarah, saying, Linda! Yes, that's the dog's name. So, yeah.
I got to go back in and heart that.
Yeah, it's great.
Because I do appreciate, and Linda does too. And we all do as well for joining us on another exciting episode of Narbos and Broomheads Time. We'll see you beautiful babies here next time, okay?
Bye. Okay.
Later. Bye. Noel for Prime Minister.
I'd be rich.
Well, I just said I'd go get my love. I wouldn't have to do my homework.
would stay up late and dream about Kaylin. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the gap naked just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.